We're taking a trip to the Red Sea this morning as Taj Paklav takes us on another Reflections of Hope adventure.
Plus, we will also have music and an encouraging message from Faith for Today. Stay with us. Good morning, friends. We are excited to be here and waking up with you.
It's officially the last day of February. How will you end your month? Well, you know, every day is a fresh opportunity to start over every new month, every new week, and of course, every new year is a good time to pause and reflect on the past.
So let me ask you, how has God led you this month? What blessings has He poured out upon you? So take some time today to consider all that the Lord has done on your behalf and even write it down, you know, on a journal before you forget.
That's a great way to remember and to be able to look back. And it's a great time to remember that popular and so powerful verse from Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 that says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness."
Oh, I love that verse. In fact, I know a scripture song with that passage. So beautiful. You know, so today be intentional on focusing on the amazing mercies, compassion, and faithfulness of God and praise Him for it. And on today's program, we're going to do something very special. We'll be spending time meditating on God's goodness. So let's begin with the segment we like to call This Day in History.
On this day in history in 1940, Gone with the Wind secured 8 Oscars from the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, dominating key categories including Best Picture and Best Director. Notably, Hattie McDaniel made history as the first African-American actress to win an Oscar for her role as Mammy in the film. In the historic triumph of Gone with the Wind at the Oscars, we witness the breaking of barriers and the recognition of talent, regardless of color.
Similarly, in our spiritual journey, God sees and values each one of us, irrespective of our backgrounds or circumstances. You know, Hattie McDaniel's groundbreaking Oscar win reminds us that God delights in honoring His children, appreciating the uniqueness He has bestowed upon each one of us. So as we celebrate achievements and milestones, let us also rejoice in the diverse tapestry that God has woven, embracing the truth that His love transcends every boundary. Just as Hattie McDaniel paved the way for others in the film industry, may we let our lives reflect the light of Christ, breaking down barriers and bringing hope to a world that's so much in need.
Amen. Well, this morning we're going to a place with some of the hottest and saltiest water on earth, the Red Sea. With Taj Paklav this morning, we will see as we discover an important spiritual lesson.
Bordering the Indian Ocean, between Northeast Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, lies an ancient body of water known as a place of deliverance. It is one of the busiest waterways in the world. Ships of all sizes, loaded with cargo, are often seen in the distance, silently gliding through the water, delivering commerce to this ancient land. It is a narrow sea, only 190 miles wide at its widest point. The air here is hot and humid, but the water is warm and inviting. For humans, there's a natural draw to water, especially in an arid desert climate like this. Not only is it necessary for survival, but there's something about water that beckons us to hop in, splash around, and immerse ourselves. The Red Sea has some of the hottest and saltiest water in the world. This is due in part to the evaporation by the hot desert sun and the low amount of rainfall it receives each year. Its famous high salt content contributes to incredibly clear waters, making it a true paradise for explorers. The Red Sea is a place of refreshment for swimmers, wind and kite surfers, and divers like me. Going beneath the surface and penetrating the depths of this body of water is truly a breathtaking experience. The Red Sea is a special chapter in the book of nature that demonstrates the creativity and skill of the divine author and the heavenly creator. So many creatures, so many colors, so many designs to admire and lessons to learn. After exploring these wonderful waters this past week, deliverance is the lesson that stands out the most to me. You see, the Red Sea brings renewal and refreshment. It is a place of deliverance from the burning heat. Today, many find relief from the hot desert sun in the cool, clear waters of the Red Sea. In the same way that people find relief and rejuvenation in the Red Sea today, thousands of years ago, God's people also found renewal and deliverance in these same waters. Recorded in the book of Exodus, the Bible tells how God miraculously delivered the children of Israel from the enemy, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. With the pursuing army behind them and the impassable Red Sea before, the Israelites were certain that their doom was sealed. But God parted the waters of the Red Sea. He is the one that makes a way out of no way. And Moses and the Israelites walked across it on dry land. It was their passageway to freedom, a birth canal to new life and a new beginning, a way of liberation to a place where they would no longer be in bondage. No more would they serve the oppressor. And what God did for them way back then, He will truly do for us today. My friend, are you in bondage? Perhaps a slave to the will of the enemy? Captive to the call of your own sinful flesh? Are you being pursued by the regrets of the past? Overwhelmed by the uncertainties of the future? Then come to the Red Sea of Jesus' blood, where deliverance and renewal is found. Jesus said that when we know the truth will make us free. And here's the truth. The divine deliverer came from the heavenly promised land to the Egypt of our world. He came to experience our oppression firsthand. He has borne all our affliction upon Himself, and He has shed His precious blood for our sins. And now He desires to wash us in the Red Sea of His blood, to immerse us in the waters of His grace. For this is where freedom and deliverance is found. So follow the path that God has opened for you. Despite your fears, move forward in faith. Do not be afraid of the enemies behind you, nor of the obstacles before you. Just move forward in faith and see the salvation of the Lord. After living on the Red Sea this past week, I've experienced physical, mental, and spiritual renewal. Going through these same waters and remembering what happened here thousands of years ago has rejuvenated my spirit and refreshed my soul. My friends, you may never be able to come and explore the Red Sea here in Egypt, but did you know that there's another one that you can make it to? But this sea isn't found on the earth, and it's definitely not located in the desert. The book of Revelation describes this sea as the sea of glass mingled with fire. The fiery Red Sea of glass, reflecting the fire of God's glorious presence, is the ultimate symbol of final deliverance. And it is on that shore of this incredible sea that God's people will stand victorious in final deliverance. No more affliction, no more oppression, and let us pray that we shall all meet on that beautiful shore.
Hope Harmony's Sivasa Laupati joins us this morning to share a blessing in song. We hope you enjoy this song entitled, All Right.
You cry. Tomorrow is another day. Because we think we know best, but even soldiers need a place to rest. He's holding us right now, so lay down your sword and shield by the riverside, and hold on to the rock that stands unmoving. He understands your tears, so don't you worry, because everything will be alright. Don't you cry, tomorrow is another day. Don't you cry, my God will make a way. You have strength beyond what you can see, but He can see it clear. Don't you cry,
and why should you check yours? Find out right now.
Welcome to the Bay of Islands, a magical place, a fantastic place, a place where tourists come every year. They come here because of its natural beauty, the scenery, the peacefulness. People come up here for the diving, the fishing, and even to have an island all to themselves for the day. Most people come with their boats up here. But before you launch, there are a few things to check, just in case there is an emergency. Before you launch your boat, just remember to put your bung in. It's pretty embarrassing when you don't put it in. I've been one of those at the boat ramp, and the water coming in the back of your boat, it's not that good. This little piece of equipment can save your life. There have been tragedies. Families, children have drowned because they were too eager to go onto their boat, but they forgot to put their bung in. So if you're up here with a new boat, just remember to put your bung in. It's important to check how many bungs you have on your boat before you launch. This bung teaches us important life lessons. Never let your guard down. If we let our guard down, we're opening ourselves up to destructive influences. It may seem small at first, but just like a little water coming into the opening of the boat, eventually it will fill up and sink. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to ruin your life, so he's looking for any opening to bring you hurt and pain. There's an old saying, be sober-minded. This means keeping our minds alert for anything that may bring us hurt or take us down a path that brings us pain? Are there things in your life you have neglected and left open to wrong influences, or behaviors that you desperately want to change? Have you neglected the bung in your life and allowed negative influences to swamp you? Well, here's the good news. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are hurting and are burdened, and I will give you rest." The first step of getting your life back onto track is to allow Jesus to take your pain, your guilt, your suffering, and give you peace. It may seem that your lifeboat has sunk to the bottom of the sea and you are at rock bottom, but Jesus promises to raise you from the bottom and let you start floating and enjoy life again.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with today's devotional thought by Faith for Today. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today's Roy Ice.
Slava Rostopovich is a world-famous cello player. Since his exile from his native Russia in 1974, he lived in the West. He's considered by many to have been the greatest cello player of the second half of the 20th century and one of the greatest of all time. When the Kremlin hardliners pulled their August coup, Slava was in Paris. Instead of scurrying back to the U.S. in safety, he and his family flew straight home to Moscow. There, he took up his place in the Russian Federation building that President Boris Yeltsin and his elected allies vowed to hold against every assault. In the darkened corridors, someone gave him a Kalashnikov automatic rifle. But he returned it. Rather, he took out his cello and gave an impromptu recital to break the awful tension of the siege. Nearly 3,000 years earlier, in 856 BC, music was heard in the midst of another battle. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, more than anything, wanted to do what God commanded. God honored him for that commitment and made him great. But even during times of greatness, crises still come into our lives. This crisis was a surprise attack from the southeast. Three nations suddenly moved against Judah: Moab, Ammon, and the Maonites. Without warning, they crossed the Dead Sea. Even now, they were only 40 miles away. The danger was very real. Another day or two or three, and the enemy would be at the gates of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2, adds a significant phrase: "A vast army is coming against you." That made it very personal. Not just against Judah, not just against Jerusalem, but against the king himself, against Jehoshaphat. This was a true test of one man's faith in a time of crisis. What will he do? You know, a man may do many things in a time of crisis. Some cover up, some give up, others panic, still others deny they have a problem at all. But verse 3 reveals this key response: Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Everything turns on that fact. This was the decisive moment. It's not the crisis that destroys men. It's what we do or don't do when the crisis hits. What do you do when the land is invaded around you? Get the guns, call the army? That would make sense because Judah had a large, well-trained army, but not this time. Jehoshaphat did something that by human standards makes no sense. He called a nationwide fast and asked the people to join him in Jerusalem for a prayer meeting. Now that's crazy by all human standards. Common sense says, don't waste time. There's a time to pray and a time to fight, but now's the time to fight. Oh no, says Jehoshaphat. now is the time to pray. His prayer, recorded in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6 through 12, stands as one of the greatest prayers in all of the Bible. In his prayer, there's only one request. Will you not judge them? Verse 12. There is only one complaint. See how they've repaid us? Verse 11. And there is only one confession. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Verse 12. This isn't a very long prayer, but it saved an entire nation. It wasn't very complicated, but it got the job done. The answer wasn't long in coming. While the people were gathered in Jerusalem, the Lord spoke through a prophet named Jahaziel. His message was simple. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Take a moment to savor that last phrase. The battle's not yours, but the Lord's. Now we get to the good part of the story. The next morning, the army of Judah begins to move against the enemy, but it's the strangest battle formation in history. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, people of Judah and Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Can you imagine the sight? Here comes the army of Judah, thousands of men armed for battle. Who's at the head? Not the scouts, not the archers, not the warriors, not the infantry, not the mighty men. The choir is leading the way. This was a bold, audacious move. Either the singers will be killed in a great slaughter, or God will come through. But this is God's battle, so the proper response is bold, audacious worship. They say that an eerie silence envelops the battlefield just before the first shot is fired, a tense, living silence, when all the world stops just before the roar of the guns. In that silent moment, men gather their thoughts, say their private prayers, and prepare to die. Military strategists tell us that nothing is more important in battle than achieving the element of surprise. If your enemy doesn't know you're coming, perhaps the shock of the first assault will win the day. If you can hit him when he doesn't expect it, he will rock back on his heels and soon flee the field. But the army of Judah gave up the element of surprise. Here they come down the road, led by the male chorus, singing at the top of their voices. Not a patriotic hymn, not a love song, not a military march, but a cry of praise to the Almighty God. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Over and over they sang, lifting their praise higher and higher. No doubt the soldiers joined them, thundering the sound of praise across the arid hills toward En Gedi. This strategy would appear to be suicidal. In the first place, they were giving up all hope of surprise. Even the deaf could hear this army coming. Meanwhile, something strange is happening in the enemy camp. As the men of Judah came closer, the sound of singing confused the Moabites, Ammonites, and Maonites. They began attacking each other. Meanwhile, the army of Judah kept on marching. When they got to the high place overlooking the battlefield, all they saw were thousands and thousands of dead men. Moabites, Ammonites, Maonites, all dead. Not a one of them killed by the men of Judah. In their confusion, they had killed each other. The vast army was no more. The men of Judah never shot an arrow, never threw a spear. They didn't fight at all. They marched out singing, and by the time they got to the battlefield, it was over. Just like God said. In my Bible, the story is titled, "Jehoshaphat Defeats Moab and Ammon." You know what's funny about that? He didn't lift a finger. He didn't even break a sweat. No general ever had an easier battle than this. He didn't fire a single shot, and he didn't lose a man. He didn't even have time to get his uniform dirty. But notice this. They worshiped God before the crisis. They worshiped during the crisis. They worshiped after the crisis. Worship is not an event. Worship is your chance for hope today.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that inspiring word with us this morning.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about breaking free from addictions, and we'll have another inspiring Reflections of Hope episode. Pastor Mark Finley will also be with us for a devotional thought.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you'd like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we can't leave without sharing a daily Bible promise. And today's promise is found in Psalm chapter 9, verse 10.
It says, "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
You know, to know God is to trust Him. Believe His promises, friends. He will never leave you.
Amen. Friends, we have enjoyed so much spending time with you this morning, and we hope that you will experience the peace and happiness that God desires for you today.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how good it is to know. It makes our hearts feel so confident that the God of heaven is by our side. Better yet, the God of heaven abides in us, with us. We thank you, Lord, for the great hope that this gives us. And we begin this day with that in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.